I'll speak something about this process of deity worship. Are the deities going to come here? Up there. Okay. While we're here, the deities are soon to arrive downstairs. A bhoga offering will be made, and then we'll perform arati. For Sri Sri Nittai Chaitanya Chandra.
Haribo.
Haribo. Haribo. Deity worship is a natural consequence of the process of hearing and chanting. From the seventh canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear Prahlad Maharaj instructing his dear father, Hiranyakashipu, about the process of devotional service, as he learned it from Narada Muni, not from Sanda and Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya. He didn't learn that from those two teachers. But from one who is carrying bhakti, one can receive bhakti. So the one bearing bhakti, Narada, imparted that to Prahlad and Prahlad's mother. Even while Prahlad was still within the womb of his mother. Gopinath. Gopinath, put it over there by the fire. Okay? Okay. Nice throw. Okay. So the process of deity worship is a byproduct of hearing and chanting. The nine processes of devotional service begin with hearing and chanting. Shravanam, kirtanam. Hearing and chanting. And by that process of hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna, then remembrance of Krishna awakens within the heart. The dormant eternal relationship that we have with Krishna is awakened from within the heart. And then other processes following hearing, chanting, and remembering the Supreme Lord, one of them is the process of deity worship, archana. So, if it would be nice if that top part of the yajna disappeared because it's making smoke. If someone knows how to remove, is it removable? Because otherwise the room is going to be really smoke filled.
You want to put it outside?
Just put it outside.
Yeah, but he has to. Whoa, he's brave.
Wow, amazing.
Okay. Because that's something, we can't just open the windows and all the smoke goes out. Open all the windows and we'll all be bundled up. So, the process of deity worship follows the process of hearing and chanting, and it helps us to fix the mind upon the personality of Godhead. When in our stage, it's a form of practice, and in the stage of bhava, it's an ecstatic outpouring of the heart. And in the stage of prema, it's the same thing that takes place in the spiritual world. Those who are very intimately associated with the Supreme Lord, they worship Him with the same articles that we engage in worship with. Just like when Sudama the Brahmin came to visit Krishna. Krishna immediately got down from his seat, his throne, placed Sudama on the throne and worshipped him. Or when Krishna was entering into Mathura, the brahmanas came from their homes with their paraphernalia for worship of the deity, and they placed the articles for worship of their deity before Krishna and just worshipped Krishna right in the street. So we're engaged in the deity worship process in a regulative manner, according to the scriptures. There are sections of the scripture that particularly describe these processes. For us, who are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were given in codes or texts compiled by Gopal Bhatta Goswami and then edited and prepared for making available to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas by Sanatan Goswami. There in that literature, it's Hari Bhakti Vilas, the details of deity worship and all of the other observances like how to observe Janmashtami or how weddings should take place, the various sangskaras, and how sannyas should take place and everything. All the how-tos that one needs to know for life as a Vaishnava. It's in this Hari Bhakti Vilas. So we follow those standards of deity worship. In fact, there's now a formal 3.5 month academy. I don't know if you're aware of this. Those of you that want to sign up for next year's session, or the year after that, or the year after that, an annual Mayapur Academy, where all the procedures, there's four parts, because I know somebody who's enrolled in that course right now. There's a section on the duties and qualities and the function of a brahmana. And then there's another section on cooking for the Lord. Then there's another section on how to do rituals. Just as we just did, you know, the yajna ceremonies. And there's another section on deity worship. All the how-to. For 3.5 months. And there's something like 50 students from all around the world. I guess they have translators. I hope they have translators. So they can take the class and learn year after year after year. That academy is there. So standards are from Hari Bhakti Vilas, are formally trained, and then those persons can go to their places and similarly train their communities wherever they came from. You okay? Need some water? You sure? Okay. If you cough some more, we'll ask you to get some water. Okay. And that's what we're doing this evening. We're inviting the deities of Gornatai to receive worship, and the family that's doing the worship needs to know what those standards are. At least a basic procedure for home worship, because these are devotees that are going to be worshiping deities in temples. So there's a web page, I think it's deityworshipministry.com or something like that. Huh? deityworshipministry.com. And it will tell how to, what standards you should observe in your home. So, because the practice is meant to be pleasing to Krishna, not just someone's imagination, that they do what they think Krishna will like. That's not our process. We have standards, and we follow those standards as carefully as we can. And before beginning to invite the deity in one's home, one should have an altar where there's pictures. This is exactly how Srila Prabhupada established deity worship in our temples, same in the home, before there are deities in the temples, we've established regulation of making certain offerings and certain arti at certain times of the day, and maintain that with some standard and a regular basis. And as the level of commitment and purity and quality of the devotees in the temple became sufficient, then Prabhupada approved that they would begin deity worship. In fact, just for your edification, one of the reasons for having Prema Charangadeep do the fire yajna is, this is just anecdotal, but Prabhupada did different things at different times according to the audience. And in some cases he personally performed the deity installation, just as we did. You can see pictures of Prabhupada with the ladle pouring the ghee into the fire, and I was aware of that in Boston. They installed deities for the Boston temple. Prabhupada presided over the ceremony. And when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he didn't personally preside over the ceremony. He had the local Goswamis of the Goswami temples preside over the ceremony, so that they wouldn't be able to say, oh, you didn't do it right, because they did it. So they would say, oh, it was done right. And very contrastingly, when Srila Prabhupada had the deity of Radha Govinda installed in Jaipur at the gift of Gayatri Devi, on the stage there were many sannyasis along with Prabhupada, but he had Mother Jamuna perform the ceremony of the deity installation, and there's photographs of Jamuna sitting there before the fire, Prabhupada and his sannyasi disciples over in the background, and she was doing the installation. Right in front of Govindaji, and those of you who have been there, you know what that means. It's now there's this covering, as in front of the deities, there's a like a canopy, but it's not like cloth, it's a structure. It's open air, but it's a structure so that when it does rain, the crowd doesn't get wet. They can worship the deity and stay dry. But before, when the deity of Radha Govinda were installed, there was no canopy, so it was that close, that directly in front of Radha Govinda. In fact, I spoke with a devotee who was present, explaining all these details. And Gayatri Devi, the queen of Jaipur, was so moved by Prabhupada's qualities. She invited him, come to my museum, the place where she kept many, 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 many. Pick whatever deities of Radha Govinda you would like, and they're yours. So he went and he picked, and they were placed on the pandal, and Jamuna performed the yajna in front of the thousands of people that were there, for the, you know, recognizing the personalities who were present, particularly pleasing the queen of Jaipur. Because, after all, it was her gift. And after the deities were installed, and the pandal continued and finished for another week with their on the pandal presiding over the old event, Prabhupada arranged for them to be shipped to the New York temple for them to worship, for us to worship. Like that, that was the arrangement. So the procedure for the installation is to be followed in a prescribed manner. And I wanted to read a little bit where Prabhupada writes about the importance of deity worship from the second canto, chapter 3, Srimad Bhagavatam, pure devotional service. And there's a series of verses where Maharaj Parikshit is requesting Shukadeva Goswami to describe more about the process of devotional service, and he's indicating, as the process of devotional service is to use the senses in the service of the master of the senses. This is a definition. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Very, very direct. Senses engage in the service of the master of the senses, This is what devotional service is called. So he is describing the legs should be used this way, the eyes should be used that way, the ear should be used that way, the tongue should be used that way. And if they're not, then it's no better than some unfortunate circumstance. The legs that don't walk to the temple are no better than tree trunks. The eyes that do not see the form of the Lord are no better than the plumes on a peacock, and so forth. That's the negative. The positive is the eyes should be used to see the form of the Lord. Here's the text 22 from this chapter 3. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, his forms, name, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock, and the legs which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered are considered to be like tree trunks, as I said. So here's Prabhupada's purport, a part of it. Especially for the householder devotees. Looking around the room, I see a few householder devotees. Especially for the householder devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended as far as possible. Every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu, forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, or Sitaram especially, or any other forms of the Lord like Nrisinga Varaha, Gornatai, Matsya, Kurma, Shalagram, Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu like... You have a big menu. Trivikram, Keshava, Achyuta, Vasudeva, Narayana, and Damodar, as recommended in the Vaishnava Tantras or Puranas, and one's family should worship strictly following the directions and regulations of Varchana Vidhi. I mentioned that's for us, that's the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And by the way, it's being translated from Sanskrit to English by the Govardhan Sanskrit School, and just now coming will be published.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It's one of their many projects.
Wonderful.
And then it continues. Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and all the members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the Lord beginning from 4 a.m. till night, 10 p.m. Don't go to work. Don't go to school. Just worship your deity. No, it doesn't say that. By performing Mangala Arati, Niranjana, Archana, Puja, Kirtan, Shringara, Bhoga, Vaikali, Sangya Arati, Panta Bhoga, Shayana Arati, etc., engagement in such worship of the deity under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master will greatly help the householders to purify their very existence and make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Then he explains that. Simple theoretical book knowledge is not sufficient for a neophyte devotee. Book knowledge is theoretical, whereas Arjuna process is practical. Spiritual knowledge must be developed by a combination of theoretical and practical knowledge, and that is the guaranteed way for attainment of spiritual perfection. The training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciple to make gradual progress towards the path back home, back to Godhead. Goes on. Another page and a half. So deity worship is an integral part, of course, of spiritual practice. Most important is the fundamental hearing and chanting activities. And as they become very firmly established in one's life, speaking especially as Prabhupada is doing here for householders, then in course of time, the extension, natural fruit of that hearing and chanting is desiring to worship a deity, form of a lord. It's not only for neophytes. Our very, very, very most advanced Vaishnavas, similarly, they worship deities, and not just to teach us by their example. That was also something they were doing, but the attraction to the form of the Lord and to engage in these various activities of serving the Supreme Lord, just as just happened after offering very nice articles for the deity with Abhishek. The deity was then taken, so very nice dress and nice garland and other decorations and ornaments and crown placed upon them, as one might do worshiping Krishna, as this happened in Krishna's house every morning. Mother Jasoda very nicely decorated her little deity son in all these different ways. Just reading Gopal Champu, where it's a book by Jiva Goswami, and it describes that when Krishna turned 3 years old, he told his father, "I'm ready now to worship the cows." Think of somebody you know that's 3 years old. "I'm ready now to worship the cows." And Nanda Maharaj said, "Gopal, you have to grow up some more." He said, no, "I want to worship the cows. I want to worship the cows." So after a little negotiation, he said, "All right, you can worship the calves. You can take the calves and take them to the forest." So, because Nanda Maharaj has many, many calves, he has 900,000 calves, cows. So how many calves? Many, many. So they had a big festival for honoring Krishna's going to go with his cowherd friends and go herd the calves. So they had a big festival. And when you have a big festival, of course you have to have nice Brahmins chanting nice mantras and make gifts to the Brahmanas. But this was for Krishna, so everyone came spontaneously to offer Krishna gifts. This is Gopal Champu. Someone gave him a buffalo horn. So when the cows went some distance, he could call them on his buffalo horn. Someone else gave him a rope, so he could carry that on his shoulder. It's decorative, deity worship. But he can carry the rope on his shoulder. If one of the cows went some distance, he could fetch the cow. Krishna got his first flute, according to Gopal Champu, when he was three years old. And different devotees gave him different articles, different auspicious articles to wear as he was going in the forest to protect him from any danger, and decorations and things. And Mother Jasoda, she made a very special gift. She made special shoes for Krishna because she didn't want him to walk barefoot in the forest. He might step on some sharp stones or some thorns. So the description is, it's the little pointy shoes that curl at the end. You've seen them? They're still popular in Rajasthan. Only hers were made with jewels, studded with jewels. Now it's like little mylar or mirrors or something. And an umbrella, decorated with jewels, and a servant to carry the umbrella in case it was too hot. The direct rays of the sun shouldn't burn her darling son. So Krishna, although he had accepted all the other gifts, he refused the shoes and the umbrella unless Mother Jasoda met a certain condition, and that was that you have to make 4 shoes for each of the calves and an umbrella for each of the calves and a servant to carry the umbrella for each of the calves. Otherwise I won't accept. And Mother Jasoda said, no. Calves already have shoes. They don't need shoes. And they're used to the direct sun. They don't need an umbrella. But he wouldn't budge. he said, it is our dharma to protect the cows. And how can I accept something more than the calves that I'm protecting receive? So he didn't budge. It didn't say how it ended up, but I doubt if she made shoes for each of the, four shoes for each of the calves. So the deity worship, in other words, is as in the spiritual world, like when Krishna entered Mathura, the washerman's clothes, the decorations of the weaver, the garland of the florist, the sandalwood paste and the scented oil offered by Kubja. It's deity worship. But he first had his abhishek. He took bath in the river Jamuna before he entered Mathura. These things go on in Krishna's pastime. They go on in Vaikuntha. And we can practice them in our home when we're following authorized practices and we prepare ourselves in advance. And it's preparing us for further stages of fixing our mind always on Krishna, living a life in relation to the deity that's very regulated. It's nice, very natural sequence. So it shouldn't be that, oh, like a fashion, they got some deities, I have to run out and go get some deities. Don't think like that. It's not a fashion. It's a stage at different devotees' stages of their spiritual progress. That's something they may feel particularly inspired to do. But there's some scriptural instruction that we should consider. Not fashion or imitation. Just at a certain stage, it's something that's very natural for us to do. Just a comment on that note. I've worshipped deities in our temples, but not so much. Mainly, my service has been distributing books for years and years and years as a brahmachari. And the brahmachari book distributors ask Prabhupada, when we have our traveling vehicles and we are distributing books, should we also take deities with us? So we can stay regulated and do things nicely like that. And Prabhupada's reply was, let these books be your deity. So I just accepted that. We kept an altar and kept a Bhagavad Gita on the altar. And we made our offerings to the Bhagavad Gita along with picture of Prabhupada. Or the deity from the temple, picture of the deity from the temple. So, but there are sannyasis that regularly do deity worship. I mean, every day do deity. They travel with their deity. And so it's not a mandatory part of one's spiritual life. You'll be a misfit if you don't do deity worship. But on the other hand, it's very natural. And it's helpful for spiritual progress. We each have our different nature. The indication here is, particularly for householders, it's recommended at a certain stage of spiritual practice under guidance of the scripture and your spiritual authorities. One last thing is on this, it's something that Prabhupada emphasized. While there are these writings in his books about devotees establishing a deity in their home, he indicated that it should not take away from the worship of the deity in the temple, because the deity in the temple is not for the pujaris and the brahmanas who do the puja at the temple, and not for the congregation. It's for the congregation. So being directly involved in the worship of the deity at the temple is not only beneficial for the temple, it's beneficial for the congregation members. The temple is there for the members. And the deity is there for the benefit of the members. And the worship of the deity is available and recommended and beneficial for the members. So while there may be deity worship in someone's home, deity worship in the temple is also very important. to be considered as part of your service. So, are we ready for RT?
JTs are not down yet.
They're not down yet.
Almost done.
Almost done. Okay. So just see if then if there's any questions or discussion on whatever you'd like to ask about deity worship, this topic, or something.
Ooh.
Yes. Hare Krishna.
Reading from the quote from the Prabhupada describing that these are different varieties of deities can be installed.
Yeah.
I was speculating on speculating on Harihara installation. Maharishnu and Sarvashiva, is there any?
Well, I'm glad that you used the word speculating, because it is. What he says is forms of Vishnu. And this variety, then it says Vishnu, and then Vishnu. So Vishnu Tattva category is what's recommended for us. Is that all right? Yes.
The deities, like brahmacharis and sannyasis, they get certain forms of the deities, and householders will be worshipping certain forms of deities. Is there anything like that? Or
I'm not sure what your question is. Are there deities that are recommended for householders?
Yeah.
And specific deities recommended for renunciates?
Yeah.
Is that your question?
Yeah.
The only thing that I know scripturally is that certain form of Bodhisringa Dev is not recommended for householders. Lakshmi Nishringa recommended, Prahlad Nishringa recommended, Ugra Nishringa not recommended. That's recommended only for households, for brahmacharis and sannyasis. Other than that particular item, no distinction, as according to one's attraction. In fact, there's a verse in Brahma Samhita that says specifically like that, that the Lord appears according to the attraction of devotion of the devotee. Does that answer your question?
Shila Salakram worship, like, is that recommended?
Say a whole sentence. You're like, you're halfway through your sentence.
The Salakram.
I know what it is. What's your say your whole question.
So is that being recommended along with the deity worship, or that is a separate one?
Shalagram, Shila worship is deity worship. So one may worship Shalagram and another deity form. One may worship a deity form without Shalagram Shila. One may worship both. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada writes that in all of our temples I plan to introduce Shalagram Shila along with deity worship. For temples that were ready, he did that, and then others it took some time, and so the deity worship, the standard of worship is, or the procedures for worship of Shalagram are quite simple. The standard is high. So one should be qualified before beginning such worship. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Anything else? I'll read another paragraph from the purport then. You let me know when we're ready. Okay, I'll read another paragraph as soon as the...
There's a question.
A question, okay.
Maharaj, I would like to hear more details from that. You were telling about Lord Ganesh holds the feet of Narsingha.
He holds on his tumali the lotus feet of Govinda. And it's Govinda who gives him the power to remove obstacles in the path of material progress in the three worlds. Our acharyas describe as a particular expansion of Govinda, specifically Narada Sringadev, upon whose tumali Ganesh receives the power by the lotus feet of Lord Nrsingadev, and therefore we worship Ganesh. Excuse me, we worship Lord Nrsingadev. But we can, Vaishnavas that are very qualified, just like Rupa Goswami indicates in Nectar of Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of the 64 items is worship of Ganesh. So when the devotees read that and they asked Prabhupada, how come this is here but you never introduced it? He said, because if I introduced it, you would approach Ganesh for something material. This is for persons that are very elevated and they don't worship Ganesh for something material, but for something spiritual. And then that aspect of Ganesh is not the same. It's another aspect of Ganesh. Oh. Then it's removal of obstacles on the path of spiritual progress. Is that all right? Okay. Go ahead.
Are there different standards for worshipping Govinda deities and Radha Krishna?
Yes. The standards for Radha Krishna worship are higher. When offenses are made, the reaction is stronger. So there are devotees that like Radha Krishna worship, and they should be very, very particular about how they prepare themselves for worship of Radha and Krishna, you know, internally, as well as the standards externally that are to be observed, and they can meet those standards before they invite Radha Krishna. In contrast, or comparison, Gornatai are very merciful, and therefore Prabhupada generally in temples first introduced deity, the picture of Panchatattva, and then when there are deities, Gornatai or Jagannath. And he was far more particular with introducing Radha Krishna worship in temples. So the same in homes. Is that it? Yes.
When you were last time here, I think when you were explaining about the sloka Tadwal Shadgo Jnatal Prabhu sloka, you were explaining, you talked about something like Lord Vishwakshena, Vaishnavas worship Lord Vishwakshena as opposed to...
This is a technical question. I'm not going to get to it right now. Okay. For our situation here. Yes.
In the morning we were talking about the story of the Brahmanas, the wives of the Brahmanas and Krishna.
Yeah.
And you were saying how the Brahmanas were like too attached to standards, so they like didn't pay attention to...
There's nothing too attached to standards as much as they were not thinking much about the purpose of the yajna. They were attached to the ritual itself.
Well, then I was just going to ask, like, how can we be careful not to be too attached to the rituals or whatever?
The standards of deity worship that are given to us are minimal. They're not negotiable. They're minimal. They're to be observed. Cleanliness and, you know. But let's just take the question that you're asking and apply to deity worship within ISKCON. There are standards for the different articles and how many circles at the feet and the torso of the deity and the head of the deity, that went how many circles of this article and that article. That's a detail, a procedure. The essence is not how many circles. and we're not circle conscious. And if there's a mistake in terms of how many circles with one article or another article, that's not, doesn't spoil the offering. But one may do the right number of circles and be thinking something else, like, you know, mind in the gutter and doing the right number of circles. And that's not nice. So what's it, the essence is the devotion with which we're offering. And so what's important then, while there are procedures, the purpose of the procedures is to help fix our consciousness upon the personality of Godhead in a mood of trying to please Him. That's what's the essence and the important part. I'll give a practical example that from something that happened in my devotional life. Along with distributing books, one of the services that I did was I served as a Sankirtan leader in different places at different times. And one of those times was in our temple in New York, and we had the standard that everybody in the temple except the pujari and me, because I was coordinating when people ran out of books or had a problem or needed something. So I stayed at the temple, and the pujari stayed at the temple, and everybody went out. And then everybody was a large number. And the congregation members came, and every Saturday was everyone went out day. And one of those days, we ran out of prasadam. So being, you know, expedient, I ran to the kitchen and got some articles and set up on a shelf and made an offering and then gave the devotees some prasadam they could take out, some fruits or something like that, fruits and nuts or something like that. And one of the other devotees saw me doing that, and they didn't complain to me, they complained to the president. And the president asked me, you know, tell me what happened. I told him what happened. And he said, well, it's nice that you certainly made an offering instead of just giving them boga. It should be done in a proper consciousness. It's not just hurry, place something. It's the cleanliness and the consciousness and the devotion with which something is offered that's also important. So it was a nice lesson for me. So it's not just the ritual of put something before of some pictures and I go prasadam. Like that. Does that help? Okay. Yes.
Ways to develop more attachment
for
towards like deities.
Okay. Well, associate with those that have attachment for deities. And when you do deity worship, something like, you know, before you begin chanting, read something that speaks of the importance of deity worship. So it's like the impression is there and the mood that one should be in. So you read and then you do. And receive training. Of course, that's associating with persons who have some attachment for deities. Now, if you want to learn devotional music, one way is just to go to somebody that has, you know, technical skill. And another is you go to somebody that really likes devotional music. I was just sharing this with Panchatattva. Where for the 4 days before coming here, I was in Houston. And just below me, in the house where I was staying, they call it the Sannyas Quarters, but it's also where Vatsal Prabhu stays, and he knows Vatsal. So Vatsal is maintaining his wife and daughter, teenage daughter, and he has a job, and he goes really early in the morning, he comes back in the early afternoon, And when he's coming back in the afternoon, I can hear him singing. And as soon as he's in the house, he's singing. He's got the harmonium, he's singing, and one day he had a day off, so the whole day was... I said to his wife, he's down there all day singing. She said, well, he's giving him harmonium class to this one, and Mdanga class to that one, or this class and that class, and all day long. And it's not just one day, it's the next day and the next day. And so if someone wants to learn devotional music, he'd be a great teacher, because his heart's really into it. Not casual, it's his heart is into it. And in Mayapur, I was lucky enough to be in a room right next to where Panchatattva and Yogananda were staying. And any time of the day, he's in there singing away, and she's you know, doing what she's doing, and you know, playing kartals, and got a team of people in there singing Hare Krishna kirtans, different melodies, and I'm sure, I don't know, but I've not had this experience, but persons like that, like Jai Jagannath. You know, when you're just having a conversation with him, and there's like a little lull in the conversation, he's still singing a melody. He's driving, you know, and, you know, we're having a conversation, we're going to the airport. As soon as the conversation is over, he's singing a melody. He's attached. So persons like that are good persons to learn kirtan from, and similarly, persons that really, really are, really like deity worship. Those are good persons to learn from. Then you have, you know, the right sensibility, not just the you know, the technique. Okay? It's time for, in that little room, to have a Narasati, yeah? Is everyone going to fit? No way, right? What? Okay, let's go. Have Arti. Shri Chaitanya Chandra ki Itta Chaitanya Chandra.